Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome back to P.S. I Hate This Movie, a podcast where we take a realistic look into the unrealistic world of romantic comedies. I am your host, Sarah Hunt.
And my name is James Petragallo. Welcome to My Cousin Vinny Blonde Edition.
It's a perfect day, nothing standing in my way.
The whole soundtrack is apparently the same band, and it's just irritating.
If this is your first week with us, welcome.
Yes.
If this is not your first week with us, welcome back.
Thank you for joining us.
Yeah, thank you for being here with us to watch these movies and relive them in painful and excruciating detail. Thank you for your Apple Podcast reviews. Thank you for your Patreon donations. And also thank you for your patience. I was able to figure out why this podcast is not on Stitcher.
Yeah.
And it should be fixed now. Yay!
Yay, finally!
Yay.
It's been so long.
It's fixed now.
Little program note there.
It's We're fine. Happy. But anyway, so yes, we are on Patreon. We do bonus episodes every other week. Or at least we try to do it twice a month.
Yes.
We're on patreon.com/yougotheigled, YOUGOTHEIGLD. We talk 90 Day Fiancé. We play games on Plotsy, where we look at movie posters that we've never seen before, and we guess what we think that the movies are about.
We're never right.
James is never right. And then we also play a game of Make Your Own Rom-Com. The last time that we hung out, we played Make Your Own Rom-Com. And then this week, we're going to be talking about the TLC show I Love a Mama's Boy,
which is one of the creepiest things I've ever seen.
It is wild.
We're so creeped out by it, we had to do a bonus episode about it.
Saw that a lot of you guys were also watching I Love a Mama's Boy, creepy. So we figured we could all talk about it together. If you haven't watched it yet, it's on TLC, and it's these guys that are in relationships with ladies and also seemingly their mothers.
Yeah, really, it's creepy, man.
Some of them I feel bad for. But anyway, last week we watched the movie Mickey Blue Eyes with Hugh Grant, James Caan, and Gene Triplehorn.
A whole movie of every actor's in fettuccine face.
And then this week we watched Legally Blonde.
Oh, my God.
And then next week we're off.
Yes, we are off. So, and then we come back hitting hard.
Oh, yeah. We hit hard next when we come back after our break. So get ready. I think it's like the day after Christmas. We can all party. We're watching Love Actually.
Oh, God,
we finally are going to watch it. We've been putting it off for forever. I looked at James the other day and I'm like, one of these days we're going to have to do it.
No,
you know
we
that.
Have to, yeah.
So we're watching that. And then we're watching Twilight New Moon.
Oh, God.
How exciting.
Okay.
Just a reminder, we are doing one Twilight movie every month.
Yeah, we're doing Twilight a month for the next little while.
We will be off next week, but not off this week, James, because we watched Legally Blonde.
No, this was putting in overtime this week, watching this pile of shit.
Legally Blonde, 2001, 1 hour and 36 minutes, perfect movie length.
It was the only thing redeeming about this movie if it was 5 minutes longer, I'm looking for people to hunt down to talk to them about this. That I had to experience.
It's a perfect length.
No. The perfect length for this movie would have been aborted in the script process. First page, someone went, no, that's a dumb idea. Never mind. And then started over.
How dare you? Starring Reese Witherspoon, Luke Wilson, and Selma Blair. The IMDb description. Elle Woods, a fashionable sorority queen, is dumped by her boyfriend. She decides to follow him to law school. While she is there, she figures out that there is much more to her than just looks.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. There's a couple of taglines.
Please, what are they? How did they try to sell this again? I can't remember.
Meet Elle Woods. She's a lawyer with a heart of gold and a mane to match.
Oh, boy.
This summer, go blonde. That's obviously...
I remember the poster was like her standing there like, like looking like, look at me, yeah. They're a little person, a little dog.
Boldly going where no blonde has gone.
No blonde has been a lawyer before?
Blondes ever? Do have more fun.
Okay.
Don't judge a book by its hair color. Somebody was real proud of that one.
My God. Well, they're really making too big of a deal of the whole blonde thing.
And believing in yourself never goes out of style.
Okay. Well, yeah. Sure.
Okay. The fun fact is...
I have so much to say here.
The producers originally wanted to set this movie at the University of Chicago. School administrators declined, however, because of a scene at the end of the movie where a professor places his hand on Elle's leg. Filmmakers subsequently decided to have the story take place at Harvard. They're like, they'll do the pervy shit there.
It's fine. Yeah. Everyone knows that you go to Harvard, you get felt up a little.
You're
going to
get felt up a little bit.
I believe that's their slogan. Harvard. You're going to get felt up a little bit, which, you know, to them, legally, if you look at it from a law standpoint, it can be argued a little bit. Maybe they're saying that other places you're going to get felt up a lot. You'll get felt up less here. But then they're also indemnifying themselves for the fact that you are going to get felt up. So it's really pretty clever.
And we're also being very silly right
now. And it's being very silly.
We have begun the movie. It is what?
I was just going to say this movie, I always have to think before the movie, like after we've done watching it, I'm like, okay, what was the plan? Because no movie is ever like in someone's head, they write it, this is how it is, and the studio goes, great, perfect, and then they film it, and it's just how the person envisioned it. What was the original vision to what was on that fucking screen? Because this movie, I feel like, was originally like an airplane style spoof.
Okay.
That's what I feel like it was. I feel like it was a spoof of like the Marilyn Monroe movies of the early 60s.
Yeah.
Because everything in it, that opening scene with the sorority, is not modern times.
No.
It's not 2001. It's like, they're like, it's a very like 60s camp.
Yeah.
And it feels like they left little tiny elements of it that didn't quite get removed from the script totally. Yeah. But yeah, studio was like, yeah, we're not going to do the whole spoof thing, but we like it. But what if we just make it sort of serious? Like it's actually happening. You know, like I feel like that's what it is. Take like the Zucker brothers out of it almost and make it more. But then it's left in between in this muddling estuary of shit and muck mixed together. Yeah. It's not good.
I've got to tell you, James, you do seem a little bit tense. You seem a little bit like, do you want me to just let you go? Or do you want to talk about the movie in sequence?
So I mean, I do want to talk about it in sequence. But okay. This movie made... Okay.
You seem very tense.
I'm very tense. That's the thing. Twilight is hilarious because it's just so bad. I mean, the acting's awful. The pauses. Yeah. It's just terrible. It's hilarious to watch. It's like watching The Room to me. It's funny shit.
Yeah.
Mickey Blue Eyes at least made me like jump out of my chair with like anger. Like, what the fuck is this? This is so bad. This movie, you saw it. By the end of it, I had good posture. I was sitting up straight. I was watching. By the end of the movie, I was like withered in my chair like a plant that went like 4 days without getting watered. Like I was sideways. I was slunched. I was like, look at me. I'm a fucking wreck. This movie took... Like, it sucked the life out of me, my soul.
Wow. Do you think that that's dramatic or no?
No, it actually, you could see the physical, I wish we were on film the whole time. I wish we would have recorded it, because you would have just watched me just slowly wither away.
Yeah.
As this movie just hit me with more and more.
So not dramatic, but you were withering away.
My body chose to shut down to make believe it wasn't happening. You know, like babies do?
Yeah.
That's what, like infants, they just have that shutdown thing when there's too much going on. This is what my body was just slowly losing functions, you know.
So, James,
blood pressure was dropping. It's bad.
Would you say that this has been a perfect day?
It's not been a perfect day.
So we begin with the song "It's a Perfect Day," because it is. It's a perfect day. Nothing's standing in my way. Where we see some blonde hair. We're brushing the hair. We have some French tip nails on. It's definitely 2001. This is the perfect day. And then there's a lot of parallel editing and like montages in this movie. So like they kind of have like a little bit of a plot point introduced. And then we have a goal that must be achieved and then a montage that will get us to achieving our goal.
Yes.
There's a parallel editing here with an envelope with bedazzled jewels on the envelope.
With
and
the dog.
It says L on it, and it's in the It's going in a basket on a bike. And we're driving around a campus. Like, this is obviously sorority and fraternity row here at this college. And this girl is riding a bike, and all of these men at the fraternity.
There's 20 something.
There's many shirtless men on the lawn at this fraternity, and they're all just like acting like they've never seen a girl before.
Oh, they turn around and yell like animals, and they're like, and she smiles, and I'm like, those are 20 probably certified date rapists on that lawn, feet from you yelling. I would pedal your fucking little ass off, Blondie, because you are in danger.
Yeah.
You're in danger.
So
can I have one thing?
Go ahead. Yeah, go
another
ahead.
Theory to energize. I like to get all my theories out at the top
good.
Of the show.
Yeah.
Okay. Here's my theory.
Okay.
And I don't know. I could be nuts here. What if the filmmaker said, think about the timeline of when this takes place. What if they said, what would Cher from Clueless, what would happen to her later? Where would she have gone?
Okay.
This is Cher from Clueless. It's literally she just graduated college. It all lines up time-wise. Exactly, pretty much exactly the way it would be. It lines up. That's when she would graduate college. Cher has a legal background. Her father, she was working on cases with him and fucking Paul Rudd there when she's jerking off her stepbrother. She would go into law. This all makes she's a vapid idiot. What I don't. It's like, did Alicia Silverstone not want to make Clueless 2, so they made this? Is that the other? That's the only other two. That or it was a spoof of Marilyn Monroe type shit is the only
that's a great question.
Other way I could think why someone decided this was
except
a good idea.
Except for I feel like Cher from Clueless would probably not need to like stumble over her legal jargon because she hears it all the time.
She would have had more of a background, but they didn't make it a straight sequel, so they could fudge that.
Okay, got it.
Yeah, if she was Cher, obviously that wouldn't have made sense. But they were like, well, it's not Cher, but it's that character. You know what I mean?
So we're watching a montage of this person getting ready. Okay, so it's that Tiffany's necklace that everybody wanted in 2001. It was like a choker. It was a thick chain and it had the little silver heart. There is the girl continues riding the bike and she's smiling at the many men. Like, that's not threatening at all. Like,
she smiles, but she doesn't seem frightened.
No.
At all. I would be scared.
We're painting the top coat on our nails of the gal getting ready. And then what was very odd was that the nail polish bottle was like 100 feet away from her. She was applying the top coat. And then I get it that we have to see the board that says L. Woods, like whatever. But I mean, this is your prop thing. You could literally put the name on there anywhere.
And there was there was bottles of nail polish between her and the bottle she was using.
Yeah. So like, let's just drip nail polish all over my desk.
Wouldn't you
what?
At least switch it with the bottles that were closer to you? So that would be the closest nail polish to you.
And I also took umbrage in this scene, James. And if you will indulge me a second.
Please, umbrage away. Unumbrage yourself.
Thank you.
I implore you.
I'm encumbered with umbrage.
You need to unencumber your umbrage.
I love that.
Yeah.
Unencumber your umbrage.
Unencumber your umbrage, motherfucker. Do it up. What you got?
Okay. So she is a college student, okay, but her parents are very wealthy. She makes a lot of money. No probs, right? She and her friends regularly get manicures. Why is she applying a top coat herself?
Mm-hmm. True.
And then also,
you just made an excellent
what is
point.
She doing with that Herbal Essences hair color while she's getting ready? I'm like, oh, I'm sorry. Are you dyeing your own hair or are you getting it done at a salon?
Yeah, no, this girl's not touching her own hair.
You're not. Your parents make a lot of money. Yeah. So like you have a Tiffany's necklace. You have many.
She's got a Porsche convertible.
You got a Porsche convertible. You have.
You hire a
Prada
Coppola.
Shoes. Yeah. So you would definitely not be doing your own.
No, I agree.
Hair touch up thing.
Yeah, it's bullshit.
Yeah.
You know what? That's it. That's it. Musab we can't. This is over. I'm turning it off.
Yeah, we're not doing this movie anymore.
We're done. Thank you very much. It's a phony, false movie.
So now we're in the I guess the lobby of the sorority house, and people are just all working out in there. It's like a gym. It's like cheerleading practice. People are walking
everything.
Up to each other. Gals are walking up to each other and giving each other a high five. Like we're in a,
but
like we're
all,
in, what's that movie? Mav and Goose.
Oh my
like
God.
Giving
Top
each other
Gun.
High fives. Like we're in Top Gun. Why didn't I know of Top Gun?
I don't know. That's a pretty top of your gun. But it's also everybody in it is doing it in rhythmic.
Yeah.
It's like everyone's in rhythm. There's a definite, it looks choreographed. Yeah. It looks like a music video. Like everybody's doing.
Yeah.
Day. And they're walking and their hair bounces in rhythm to the thing all together. It's really,
yeah.
It's a,
It's a cult. I'll argue it.
It looks like some kind of weird cult that a music video is going to break out in, and then just they just start acting.
It looks like
strange.
It looks like a weird house that they all live there, and they're all, you know.
It reminds me of that cheerleader movie in the beginning. What the hell was that cheerleader movie with Tommy Lee Jones like 15 years ago?
I remember that one. That one was weird. Okay. So it is everybody signing the card in the, the girl that brought the card from the bike to the sorority house. Sorry, that's part of a ballad. From the bike to the sorority house. Okay.
Across the line.
With shirtless men. Okay.
And they'll rape you.
No!
Yes, they'll rape you. They'll give you beer with pills inside them and you'll rape you. Ride your bike faster, little girl.
Okay,
ride
this
your
song
bike away.
Took a very dark turn.
I don't know. That's what's going on in the movie.
And now Taylor Swift is going to come out with a song.
Yeah, great. Thank you. That's going to be ride your bike. Pedal, pedal, sweetheart. Pedal away.
Pedal faster.
Pedal away from the date rape.
That'll be
the new Taylor Swift song. You know.
This is a test to see if Taylor Swift is really listening to us.
No shit, since nobody, no crime is apparently
that maybe
up
is
for
a,
grabs.
That's if that's on the docket, then we're gonna say that. We're watching you, Taylor.
We just want to collaborate. We're
if
not
you
looking
hear
to.
A song, yeah, we're not looking. To, we're not mad. We
we're
just
not
want
trying
collab.
To crack you. We're just like, hey, you know, let's all get together.
It is revealed to us that it is Reese Witherspoon, aka Elle Woods, getting ready. Love that she has Clinique Happy Body Spray, which is like I had that.
That's the most basic bitch 2000
again,
thing in the
world. Again, she's super fucking rich. She wouldn't be spraying Clinique Happy.
But I think that was just to be relatable to every woman who was going
and
to watch
her
it.
Her shoes were so 2000.
I mean,
everything about her was so 2000.
It was very 2000.
Her dog, Bruiser, delivers the card to Reese Witherspoon, and it says, good luck tonight, Elle and Warner forever. And she blows a kiss to her large 8x10 photo of Warner.
Which is, this is where also it has a very 1962 kind of a feel, like, you know, at her
the
boyfriend's
funny thing,
picture.
Yeah,
like,
you would have a picture, especially if you're a sorority girl, you'd have 8 million pictures of you and Warner that you would have framed.
Like together.
And it would be all over your dorm room.
And your
they
mirror.
Would be all over. Yeah, pictures of
your
you
mirror.
Guys forever.
Yeah.
And then, but instead you have a weird black and white
like
8x10 on your.
His dramatic headshot is there.
Yeah.
Like he.
That's what I always think is funny is it's like you guys don't. Like they. The set people print out an 8x10 and they're like, we need people to see that it's this person.
Yeah.
And you're like, nobody has a framed 8x10 on their desk.
No, that's just a theatrical.
Unless you're like a lawyer. Yeah.
Yeah. Or, you know, you're putting that into off-Broadway plays.
Well, that's you don't
that's
have
what that, that's
you
what that
don't have an 8x10.
Yeah, no, you
loud
don't.
Enough for the back row. Get the 8x10 in there. Like,
the
what the fuck? 8x10
in the frame.
Yeah, we got it. This is a show here. The people need to see that she has
show.
An 8x10 of Warner.
Let us
on
see
her.
The 8x10. Yeah.
Let us see his face. No.
That's why I feel it's very, like, that was another thing that felt like early 60s
yeah.
in kind of a remnants of that
well,
shit.
It was really weird, too, because they, so she's probably going to go get engaged, right? So they're talking, her and her friends are talking about how his grandma came to visit, so that means that he's obviously going to be proposing. They're going to go shopping for the perfect dress. It's the perfect dress. The sales
he's like old money comes from more like an old blue blood fart family, and the grandmother's coming
gonna...
in to give the ring that he's going to use.
Yeah,
because
you're not just going to FedEx some
six carrots. She says.
And so she, you know, good luck tonight, Ellen Warner, whatever. So the sale, they're shopping, and she's talking about that, you know, she can't just wear a pink dress because this can't be looking like just any other date here. It has to look like the date.
This is the one.
So the sales lady is trying to rip off Reese Witherspoon by giving her a sale dress, and she's, you know, lying about how it's made and all that stuff. And then Reese Witherspoon takes her to school on how you can't have that stitching on that fabric or whatever.
Which is weird because
it was like a weird Julia Roberts moment from Pretty Woman where
it was to plant the little acorn that look at her, she
smart.
Can argue.
Yeah.
She's when she knows her shit, she knows her shit. And it's like, yeah, that was her.
Yeah. And she's more than what she seems.
Yeah. That weird part is that was her save the cat moment, which is normally you do something nice for somebody else in the script. Instead, hers was I'll tell off the lady and show that I know about dresses, which was so fucking weird. Like,
yeah.
From a writing standpoint.
So Warner is here to pick us up for our date. He is wearing sunglasses at night.
Up
bad
to the door.
Sign. And he looks like a ripe douchebag with his arm on the door where he's like leaned up against the door like, hi, sweetheart, as somebody else answers it.
It's a thrice used douchebag who comes to the door. He's not a good.
And he it, like she comes down the stairs of the house and to pick and there's like a line of women to see Elle Woods off like spray mint stuff in her mouth.
They're all standing there.
Give her a little, you know. Yeah. Give her her purse, and then this one sprays some perfume on her or whatever. Because he's, Warner goes, okay, let's go. And then she stands back, like she waits for him to walk away. And then, like a cult leader, she's like, give me my purse, give me my binaca, and give me spritz.
Yeah, everybody's like all prepared.
Yeah.
They're like grooming each other like monkeys,
it's
these
weird.
Women. It's fucking disgusting.
So it's a cult.
It's a weird little cult, this strange little sorority. And these people, I'm so freaked out by this whole scene.
So it's dinner time here. We're at dinner. And Warner says, Elle, one of the reasons I wanted to come here tonight was to discuss our future. You know how we've been having all kind of fun lately, but Harvard's going to be different. I got to be serious now. And so she's pretty agreeable. She's like, yeah, I'm willing to talk about our future. I think that's a great idea. And, you know, he says that he's going to go to Harvard Law School and that, you know, he wants to do this and that and the other. And she's like, yep, absolutely. You know, I'm on board with that. I support you. I think that that's really great. And he says that if I'm going to be a senator by the time that I'm 30, I got to stop dicking around. And so she thinks that they're going to get married, and he says that he'd like to break up. He calls her Pooh Bear.
A whole bunch.
And then he says, if I'm going to be a senator, I got to marry a Jackie, not a Marilyn. So obviously this is something coming from his dad.
Yeah, his family has a legacy. They expect, he says, like, I come from five generations of senators. My brother is like top three at Yale, and he's already married
and he's
to a Vanderbilt.
Yeah. So she says, but, you know, by the way, that's right. What? Brunettes and dark-haired ladies can be marriage material.
Yes, exactly.
So they say that she says, you're breaking up with me because, what is it, because I'm too blonde? Is it because my boobs are too big? Which she doesn't really have that huge of boobs in this movie.
Okay, thank you for saying that because I didn't want to be the
but
jerk.
But she brought it up like, a lot because I'm like, how dare you say that to Jennifer Coolidge who has...
The biggest boobs.
Giant boobs.
Thank you for bringing that up. I didn't want to be the one to bring it up, to bring up boobs and things like that, but she says multiple times about her huge boobs, and I'm just like, it's Reese Witherspoon. We know who Reese Witherspoon is.
Yeah.
No offense to Reese Witherspoon. She's
got a great body.
She's a fine, handsome woman. She's fine, and I don't mean that in an insulting way.
No, he's just meaning
she's
that
pretty.
She's pretty.
She's fine. There's nothing wrong with her looks at all.
She's a great body.
She's terrific. There's nothing wrong with her, but I mean, they make it out like in this movie, like, she's the most knockout, head turning, buxom. They make it out like she's Marilyn fucking Monroe, and she's Reese Witherspoon, who has her own qualities.
Yeah, she's curvy,
but not Monroe qualities.
Her boobs seem to be very proportionate.
She's just
frame.
A pretty girl. She's fine, but they make it out like she's like this traffic stopping thing, and it's like she's just like this chick. She happens to be a little blonder than most. Yeah.
So
he
tells her that he loves her. He just can't marry her. His family is five generations of senators. Eddie just got engaged to a Vanderbilt, and I don't have a choice, sweetheart. So obviously this guy's an asshole because, listen, we've watched many a dating reality TV show, and when somebody says that, like, well, you know, like, I'm just not really allowed to be with you.
Listen, on my big fat Greek gypsy, my big fat gypsy wedding, they figure out a goddamn way to get it done.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. They're like, you know what? I just won't speak to my parents for a couple of months.
90-day fiance, you want to marry a
90-day fiance or
any of them.
No, on the I Love a Mama's Boy.
There you go.
The one guy, Shakib's mom, didn't like his girlfriend Emily at all.
Oh, that lady.
And he's
nutcase.
She's a fucking
crazy lady.
She's in love with her son. But
that's for Patreon.
No, but like he's like, Ma, you know, it's going to happen. Like, you know, people argue. yeah. with their parents about somebody that yeah. they like. So yeah. fuck yeah. you, Warner, is all no, I'm going to say.
Warner's a go with the flow, go with this Family Guy.
The theme of this episode for me is hate you forever, Warner.
Yeah.
Sarah, Sarah plus Warner equals hate.
These old money, they don't want to get cut out of the will. That's
yeah,
the thing.
Exactly.
They got an inheritance coming.
So we are walking home. We're crying. And she says, you're afraid that your family won't like me. What I didn't understand here is why she didn't say, like, I'll dye my hair. Or like,
well,
can
why
I...
should she dye her hair? She is who she is.
Well, no, no, no. She shouldn't have to, but she should be like, well, if you love me,
you
like,
mean
if
this
you're...
character
yeah,
seems
if you're
so
saying...
desperate
yeah.
anyway. She's willing if... to do go to yeah. Harvard Law School. Yeah.
yeah.
I mean, that's a pretty big.
Like, she's trying to be like, you know, I'll be a good senator's wife. Like,
yeah,
I, you
yeah.
know, I'm a gamer. Like, at least give me a shot. And she's asking to give a shot. And it's like, okay, so you said.
Even... Yeah, she could have just toned it down and
you said that you don't yeah. want me to be a Marilyn and you want me to be a Jackie. Can I get some low lights? Would that help you? Like, would that help me out?
Just a tone down. Yeah. Think would
if
have been
you
fine.
Like me and I look too Marilyn, can yeah. I go like a little Rachel from
she's pretty,
Friends?
She's pretty brassy at
yeah.
this point. I get it. But
yeah.
yeah, you could go a little lighter on it, a little darker.
Yeah.
I mean,
do you think that would make? Is it you know? Would your family be easier on me
maybe
if I did this?
Because
but
my eyebrows are already that color, so maybe it'll match.
He's
now.
Not exploring any of these options, so that means that he just is an
he's
opportunist little fuck.
Well, yeah, he went out with her, and now
hate
it's time
him.
To go and find the serious person that he's going to get married to because you're not a serious person. Person. You're,
yeah.
you know, you're running around with a little tiny dog in your purse.
So sad. She says, I'm seriously in love with you. Isn't that enough? And it's like, seriously?
No.
Yes, it should be enough, but not for Warner. Hate
it's
you
not
forever.
For Warner.
Go fucking fart up a
it's
rope.
Never enough for Warner.
Go fart up a rope.
Nothing's
Warner.
Enough for Warner.
So the next
He's
morning, or I don't even know. I think it's the next morning. We're at the sorority house. A gal is knocking on Elle's door and she's having trouble with lip liner. So one of the other gals says, oh, didn't you hear? He dumped her. Like, don't bother.
She's like the lip liner advisor of the floor,
yeah.
I believe.
Well, she's like the RA, except for with
she's
all matters. So, yeah, she's the yeah. president. But that means that she knows everything, about lip liner, about,
well,
you know, whatever.
If I had a problem with my lip liner, I'd probably go to her.
You
she
think?
Seems, I think she seems to know her lip liner.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I've never watched her apply lip liner.
No,
but
by her, at least what her.
She seems to be a.
The rap she throws out there,
yeah.
it seems like her lip liner game would be top tier.
I will. She does seem to be like when backed into a corner.
Yeah.
And not even when backed into a corner. She's kind of like me, like a little bit of an overachiever. Like when you learn something and you're like interested in doing something, you're
yeah.
going to be the best at it.
That's true.
So then she's the best at it.
Yeah, that's a good point.
But that's a lot of pressure on yourself, Elle.
Yeah, I don't get why. Okay, we'll get into that later.
We'll get into
when it gets it when
we
it happens.
We are eating chocolate and watching soap operas. She gets upset because the guy says that he loves the girl on TV, and she says liar, throws chocolate at the TV. We still have
a whole
the
box
eight
of
bite,
chocolates.
Just takes a bite out of them and then puts it into the thing. Just eat the whole.
Then she's checking. Okay, I don't like that
oh.
one. At one point, there's one where she takes a bite, looks at it, then takes another bite. She mm. found the caramel,
yeah, yeah,
I think, because
yeah.
that's what would have been. With
those boxes. Meat. I don't know why we're still making those boxes.
Here's a box of candy with six different flavors. You like
Good
one
luck.
And a half of them. Enjoy.
Yeah.
Happy hunting. One's
yeah.
okay. You'll eat it if you're out of caramel, and the rest of them.
Yeah.
Are shit, and then there's the caramel ones,
yeah,
which you know are fucking superior. Good God, just make it all caramels.
Yeah.
What the fuck is wrong with you? Maybe a couple of those chocolate
some of
ones.
Them are,
those are
some
good.
Of the caramels are tainted, though. Mm. Sometimes it's like a dark chocolate with a caramel.
Oh, no, get that dark chocolate
sometimes
the hell
it's
out
like
of here.
A sea salt.
All milk chocolate, okay, new rule. 80% of all assorted chocolate boxes must be milk chocolate with caramel. I don't want no arguments. That's it. If you want
yeah.
something else, it has to be all of that. You want some raspberry shit in there, some fluff in there.
Buy a box of that.
All of that. You don't, it can't, or 20% of it, it could be a box, but
yeah.
80% of that box, you're getting milk chocolate with caramels, period.
I always get the ones that are like, that like could rip out a filling.
Oh, what is that?
And then
what is that?
The other ones that just taste like I just brushed my teeth, but like it has toothpaste in the middle
the,
of it.
The green one.
Yeah.
What is the green? Why do I want green mush and those chocolates?
But it's like green spiky mush.
All okay. You can't. Here we go. Here's my assorted
oh,
chocolates
no.
problem. All right. They can't all be different consistencies
no.
and firmnesses. The problem is it makes you squish them with your fingers because you have no choice.
Yes.
If they were all the same, at least you'd bite them. But if you can't just bite into them because you don't know how hard to bite. Because
yeah.
is it if it's one of those green mushy ones, you fucking bite through it like it's a goddamn toffee. You're going to break your front goddamn fucking teeth on each
yeah.
other. Okay, so you can't have that. And then if you have a caramel, that's a middle one. That's going to go nice and slow. But then if it's a hard one, you think it's soft. You're not cutting through that.
No.
Help us. Uh-huh. Have tears.
Yeah, have it be like
hard, soft.
These ones are in mid. The ones that are in like a pink, like little
more organization
paper thing.
Yeah, I need organization.
Those ones are soft. Yeah, yeah. I would like a little organization.
Look, we're coming up on the holidays.
It's unpredictable.
It's unpredictable. Valentine's Day is after that. All these holidays are chocolatey holidays. People give each other chocolates,
and nobody likes them.
Sense. Think about what you're giving someone. Yeah. Assorted chocolate. Yeah, that sounds good. A box of chocolate looks nice, and it wraps pretty cool too. But you know what? It's shit. It's shit.
And if you're giving one of these gifts, how dare you? Because you're like, I know you'll only like one and a half of these.
You're
so
like,
you're
yeah.
just like, I'm giving you a tenth of the present that you deserve because I was lazy. How rude.
And the joy of those one and a half of those that are in there, that percentage will be ruined by the fact that you bit into ones you didn't like for all the whole time and you have toothpaste taste in your mouth.
I hope no one sends us chocolate boxes.
If caramel. No. Milk chocolate caramels, they can send anything they want. I'll eat it all. But this is not nothing else.
All right. Sorry. We got really... The girls tell her that she has to get out of the house. So they go and get manicures and pedicures because that makes them feel better.
Is that what girls do?
Yeah.
That's what women do? You groom to feel better?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know. I'm not judging. I'm just asking.
Yeah, nothing like a fresh set of polish.
You want to get like...
And like a little foot massage.
Okay. I get you.
I don't like the massage part. The salons by my house, they always get very upset. They're like, no, no massage. I'm like, no, don't touch me. Just paint my
please,
toenails.
Please.
I don't like any massages. If James does it to me, I'm like, and I just like, I run away.
Yeah,
I think it's because I'm too stressed out.
Yeah,
so like
I'm
it hurts.
The same way.
But I just run. I run. I don't want anybody touching me.
Well, not in that way. Not in the massage way.
No. Okay. So.
She's a lot of fun.
Me? Yeah. I'm a delight.
I'm only kidding.
Elle sees Warner's brother in a magazine and she is like, oh my God, that's Warner's brother.
With the Vanderbilt.
And so she's like, this is the type of person that I have to be in order to get Warner. And so I felt sad here because she's obviously trying to, she's like, okay, he says that he loves me, but he has no choice. So I'm going to become somebody that his family would accept.
Mm-hmm.
And that's very sweet of her.
This part of the plot is like normally it would be gender reversed.
Yeah.
Normally the guy would be like, oh, I'm not good enough for the girl.
I have to better myself.
I'm going to go to Harvard too. Yeah. And then he would show up and she'd be like, what are you doing here? Are you like stalking me? And he'd be like, no, I'm in Harvard too. And she'd be like, ew, oh my God.
Yeah.
When he's all cool, then she'd want to fuck him later. And he'd be like, no, I want to bang the dark haired girl who's not that attractive.
Yeah. Because she has a personality.
Not that dark haired girls aren't attractive. I married Desire. She's very dark haired and very attractive. Not what I'm saying. I mean that in the 80s movie, that's what they would do. They'd be like, see, the one that everyone thought wasn't the hot one. That's who I want, not the blonde one who's all made up. You know.
No, so, okay. So she has this, it's a good thought. It's a good thought to like become the person. But I guess you could be like, you know what? I would like to be a more serious person for myself.
Yeah. But
like if you're embarrassed by it, then you should do that for yourself.
Yeah. At the time, though, she doesn't have any desire for that.
So the weird thing is here, so she brings up Harvard Law School to her parents. And they're like, law school is for ugly and boring people. Pretty girls.
Which is true. No, I'm just kidding.
It's no, but she's like, they're like, you're too pretty. You're, you know, blah, blah, blah. And she's like, yeah, but I want to. And it's like, okay, well, I've never heard of a rich dad not giving his daughter anything that she wants.
They're satirically vapid, the parents. Yeah. Are, you know,
the dad always has a dirty martini in his hand.
Boring and unattractive people go to law school. You should just stand around and make sure your skin is nice. It was very silly.
And also, fuck these people. They're always putting her up in a dorm at college. I'm like, get her an apartment.
That's the idea. They're so rich. She drives a Porsche, unlimited funds, buys people shit.
You're going to Harvard Law School. Enjoy the dorm.
Unlimited. And then everything's in a dorm. It is very strange. She does not have her own apartment.
Yeah.
And
they're so rich, apparently. But, yeah, the sorority, whatever. You're in a sorority, but don't
Harvard
live
Law,
in a dorm.
Get your own joint.
Yeah.
What are you doing? Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, so, well, I guess if she wants to, like, meet friends, then she should live at the dorm.
I said, Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. This is the thing. I didn't go to college or anything like that, so I don't know. Like in a law school environment, are there dorms for that, or is that's a graduate school? So
yeah,
I think you're on your own. You like live.
I would
campus.
Like to discuss that further with other people that know the answer to this.
Smart listeners who've like gone to college and like done things like this, so
and
tell
it would
us.
Know how it would work.
Yeah,
I didn't. I stayed at home.
Several attorneys listen. We know for a fact. So
Elle is talking to the school counselor about law school. She has a degree in fashion design, so in order for her to apply to law school, she would need an excellent recommendation from her professors. She would need a dynamite entrance essay
and
at least a 175 on the LSATs.
At least a 175 on the LSATs.
So she tells her friends that she's going to Harvard, and they're like, "Oh my god, you mean like on vacay? Let's all go." No, I'm going to Harvard Law School.
Yeah. It's 3,000 miles. That's not a road trip.
Yeah, we're not going on a road trip. That sounds like a fucking nightmare.
Going on a 6,000-mile round trip road trip.
How far would I get? Like 300 miles? And I'd be like, are we going home or what are we doing? Because I'm not staying.
You'd be like,
I'm done.
We're just going to San Diego.
I'm done with the car. I'm done with the funness of the road trip. I'm telling you guys, I'm really fun. I love the idea of a road trip, and once I'm done with it, I'm like, okay, so...
Yeah, so that's that.
I've reached the end of my excitement for the road trip.
Yeah, that'll do.
It's like Benny whenever we take him for a walk, and he doesn't want to walk anymore. He just sits down.
You have to have a plan of how far you're taking Benny and how far back, because when he's done, he's done. He's like, all right.
I'm here now.
That's it. I'm good here, so I don't know what the hell you guys are doing, but you can come back later and get me. I'll be right here.
Okay, so they are very supportive, these friends.
All of them.
Her family's like, are you kidding? How come you're going to go to law school? And then even the teacher's like, the counselor's like, why are you going to go to law school? And then she tells her friends, I'm going to go to law school. And they're like, here's your lucky scrunchie, and we love you. Like, that's great. We'll help you study for your LSATs. Like, we're all going to, like, do our, you know... Pilates and our, you know, calisthenics and shit like that, and we're gonna help you with your LSATs. That's great.
I thought that her counselor was being realistic. Her counselor was great. You'd like to go to Harvard Law School. Nothing in what you've done so far has led in a path toward that.
Yeah,
you've done all fashion and like, you know, history of polka dots is one of your classes. So I don't know if Harvard's going to be impressed with that, which made sense. But she told her, if you do want to get in, this is what you got to do. It's a huge mountain. If you want to try to climb it, that's where it is.
All of hers make sense. Yeah. It's just I'm saying that they weren't like, are you sure you want to do that? They're like, great, love that you want to do that. They're being good friends.
Oh, the friends were there go for
it. As your counselor, you want her to say that. As your parents and as your friends, you want them to be like, rah, rah, shish, kumbha, let's go. Yeah. You did it.
That would
You're
be helpful.
You're going to be doing the thing that you want to do, and then you ask the questions later.
Yeah. Well, when she's not around. You go, and she's going to totally fuck this up, right?
Why is she even going? Harvard. Just because Warner is there?
She's not that smart.
I don't even like him anyway. He's not even that hot.
I wouldn't ask her about anything but lip liner. I don't trust her. She's not very bright.
She gets us good toilet paper, but...
Oh, yeah, that's right. We get the
Charmin, but I mean...
That's part of her video arguing for top-tier toilet paper, which I completely agreed with. I was on her side for one point in the movie.
Yeah, we have...
toilet paper.
Now we're on the video entrance essay. She's in the pool. It's that iconic scene where she's like, hi, I'm Elle Woods, and she's, you know, detailing why she should get into law school.
Is this iconic?
Yeah.
It is. Okay.
Well, I guess you're not a millennial, but this
you're not
a millennial woman.
I'm not a girl. That's what it is. I'm not a woman. I'm sorry.
And then she's
not
having
a toilet paper
meeting where the building was trying to give them a half ply, and she's like, no.
Yeah, which...
It's Charmin.
Fuck yeah.
It's Charmin or it's nothing.
Yeah, that's... I agree.
And then we have a studying montage. All of her friends are very supportive. Part of the video is I'm very comfortable using legal jargon in everyday life. Somebody whistles at her and she says, I object. One of her practice LSATs, she got like a 143 or something. And then while we're waiting for her actual LSAT scores, she got a 179. We passed. Everybody is cheering at the sorority house.
Yeah.
There's confetti. There's silly string. They're lifting her up. Who the fuck cleans this place?
That's my question. This looks like somebody just won the World Series and there's a ticker tape parade. It's insanity.
Yeah.
And they lift her up and carry her around.
Yeah.
Everyone's supportive. There's not a group of them that are like, fucking bitch. Which in any group of any if you
it's a numbers game. You're going to have a couple of people, whether it's a fraternity, whether it's just
50
like a
men,
group of
50 women. If you have them, 5 or 10 of them are going to hate the person that everybody likes. They're going to be like, look at this fucking
asshole.
That's
just a numbers game.
Yeah, it's just
you're
going to
run
is.
Into more of that.
Nope,
the bigger
all
the bigger the group is that the percentage is going to.
That's it.
Yes. Yeah. The percentage will stay the same. Just the amount will increase.
The amount will always increase.
Okay, so anyway, you guys are learning a lot about
a lot
our chocolate preference. okay, so a bunch of boring white guys in a review board meeting. They're going over her video essay, and everybody seems to really want her at the school, except for the main guy. He's like, she's a fashion design major. Like, you know, why would we do this?
Well, he's the only one who's like going by their actual admission standards. He's like, what are you talking about? And the rest of them are a bunch of horny old men.
Yeah.
They're like making excuses.
Like, we always say that we pride ourselves in diversity.
I mean, that would be good. She's a fashion and we haven't had that. And I mean, they're making very flimsy excuses of why she should be in here while there's like her parading around in a bikini behind them on the screen.
Yeah.
And the one guy's
talking
like,
about
what are we talking
about?
Like, she's done, has no extracurricular. She has no, this is ridiculous. And so, and they let her in.
So
horny supersedes.
Whatever. Yeah, so James spilled the beans.
Oh, I'm
We're
sorry.
In law school now. We got accepted.
It's called Legally Fucking Blonde. If she didn't get in, that'd be the end of the movie. She decides to go to what?
It could be the first part of
Cal State Davis.
Bella is not a vampire yet. Okay, so anyway, welcome to Harvard. We are driving in the convertible with the moving truck right behind. She's looking great for driving a top-down Porsche across the country.
For 3,000 miles.
I would absolutely look like hell.
Her hair would look like a bird's nest at the end of this.
So she pulls up and everyone's staring at her like she is like a science project. I mean, she is dressed pretty ridiculous. She's got all pink.
She has a moving truck full of shit. This is what I mean. This is a spoofy thing.
Yeah.
You're at college. You're in a dorm. People bring like a microwave and a bag. And she comes with like, right this way, guys. And it's like a line of guys carrying
boxes. And
she
looks silly and she's giving the dog, you know.
She parks right in the entrance.
Everybody's dressed very brownly and black here. Everybody's wearing a lot of earth tones. And
a lot of like dark blue Harvard sweatshirts and, you know, jeans. And she comes in like a bright pink everything with like feathers and fur. And
she checks in and she says that her name is Woods, L. Her social events calendar is missing. Where's all the mixers and all this? And they're like, oh, yeah, you might want to check with the cruise director. And, you know, they're like making fun of her.
Yeah.
And
that was a stupid thing to say.
But it's also like, I know you've heard of this happening. Like, we just say we don't have that. We just don't have that.
Yeah, which she could have probably gleaned if she wasn't.
Of course.
Vapid.
Welcome to law school. There's like a little meeting in the park. I'm really not sure what these meetings are, but it's like one guy that seems to go to Harvard and he talks to like five people. I don't know schedule is for that. Like,
is that like a second year person that's like talking to all the first year people to guide them?
I have no idea.
Or they all get assigned one. I don't know what the hell that was either.
But the guy that did it is like, he was in every 2000s movie. I don't know what his name is, but he's in every 2000s movie.
He's
vaguely handsome, but he's like brooding. He looks like Bo Burnham.
He's frowny and brooding. And he's like the 2000 equivalent to the brother in Stranger Things.
Yeah.
He's like, you know, he's like that sort of thing. Like,
So we meet some of her fellow classmates. It was just honestly a way to introduce like other classmates, which you need like a fat, nerdy guy who's
and give their backgrounds.
Yeah, you need to like
Russian
he's
literature.
Weird. Yeah, his name is David Kidney. He's a master's in Russian literature.
He's got a PhD in something else.
He's got a PhD in something else. Like, rah, rah, and he's weird. Like, he's fat and he's weird. And
PhD
like,
and
you're meant to think that he's ugly.
Unusual masturbatory tactics or something.
Yeah, and then he's got we've got Enid Wexler. She studied women's studies.
She's in everything too.
She's in everything. And then we've got Aaron Mitchell. He graduated first or second in his class at Princeton. He's like a 180 IQ. And then it goes to her, you know, it's just to show like how ridiculous she is.
The one woman has a button on that just says women. On her jacket. It's just a button that says women on it. And I'm like,
they really tried to like drive it home and we're like, we get it. She's a feminist.
Yeah,
like, oh my God.
We understand.
That's how like ridiculous all these people, like the genius guy is like all deep and he's like, yeah, like, you know,
yeah,
I did this, you know, blah, blah, blah. It's like, ugh.
You need to be able to see that they're what they are from space.
Yeah.
You know, back of the room.
Again, for the back of the room, it's an 8x10.
Big time. That's why I think it's like a spoof because it's, you need to.
So then she says, hi, I'm Elle Woods and this is Bruiser Woods. We're both Gemini vegan and we're from LA and I did this and I was the president of my sorority and then I, you know, blah, blah, blah.
I organized the wet t-shirt contest.
What was
the I don't remember.
Who did she see at the store?
Cameron Diaz.
Cameron Diaz, and she talked to her out of buying this one top and she's like, it was just all wrong.
Anyone who says that orange is the new pink is out of their mind.
Yeah. So everybody is just like staring at her like she's a science project. We are on our way to class here. We see Warner and he's like, you know, soulfully pointing at a bulletin board.
Soulfully pointing.
Ugh. He's once, twice, three times a douchebag.
Once,
I do not like Warner.
Twice, three times a douchebag.
Maybe Taylor Swift will write that song. Okay, Taylor, if you're listening, I get that the date rape song is not that good. But once,
it was a good song.
Once, twice, three times a douchebag about Warner.
It's
is
pretty good. It's just, pretty good. But
I know that you're all about mystery, Taylor
don't
Swift.
Don't take away from my, and it was an anti-date rape song.
Well,
you
course.
Made it sound like it was a pro-date anthem.
No, but.
It was like a very anti.
But once, twice, three times a douchebag is just.
It's very relatable. People can.
It's going to be a single.
It could be. We should just put it out. What are we giving it to her for?
Well, she took the other thing. Maybe. Maybe. Allegedly. We have no idea. She's always mysterious, that Taylor Swift.
She's mysterious.
She is. Every time an album of hers comes out, there's always 800 fucking articles about, did you hear that the way that she said, and in that one song, and it was because it's alluding to this and blah, blah, blah. And then she said vase in this song and then vase in the next song. And it's like, I think we're either Taylor Swift, we're all boring and we have nothing else going on.
And she's probably got an amazing publicist that really knows
everything.
She's like, she says she pronounced a word differently in two different songs. Just planting the acorn, guys, and then walks away. And they're like, well, fuck it. Let's write articles. Good for her. Fuck. It sells her more shit. Good for her.
Why was she eating a breadstick? Why would she pick a breadstick? Maybe she likes breadsticks. Who doesn't fucking like breadsticks?
Who knows?
And also, the audacity of thinking that you're interesting enough that every single one of the items that you've hand-selected for everything is so much deeper than it is. Breadsticks are great.
Breadsticks are wonderful.
Life's not that deep.
No.
Everybody wants an Olive Garden breadstick.
That's all they should want from the Olive Garden.
And that's all that they should want out of life. Okay.
Where are we here?
We're looking at fucking Warner pointing at the bulletin board. I know, I want breadsticks. Okay, so she's, you know, trying to walk like, oh, I forgot you go here. Like, okay, ma'am, this is stalking and you know it.
That was weird.
Yeah, so she's, you know, I forgot you go here, I go here. And he's like, you got into Harvard Law? And then there's the iconic line, what, like it's hard? And then so she's telling him that, you know, I'm so excited. I've always wanted to go to law school. Meet me after class on the benches. Okay, bye. Everybody has a laptop. She has a heart notebook with a fuzzy pen. This whole movie is showing like how she doesn't fit in. Everybody's very uniform. They all look the same. They all have dark hair. They're all wearing like a button-down shirt. And they're all, you know, ascots and laptops. Ooh, ascots and laptops.
Ascots and laptops.
Wow, we're just creating a whole album. Okay, you know what, Taylor? Don't even worry about it. We've got it. Okay.
That's what I mean. We're not giving her anything anymore. We're
so,
keeping it.
The professor asks the question if we're all well versed in the matters of
whatever
state jurisdiction or something like that.
The details are unimportant.
And then she says, you know, let's call on someone in the hot seat. She sees Elle Woods and she wants to make fun of her. So she laughs and she's like, Elle. And, you know, I wasn't aware we had an assignment. We call on Vivian Kensington, Selma Blair, and the professor asks if we think it's right that Elle Woods doesn't know we had an assignment and would you support me kicking her out until she's caught up? Selma Blair votes to kick her out.
Oh,
she's
she
like, yeah,
her.
Wouldn't abide, man. Just
right under the bus.
Violating some girl code there.
Absolutely under the bus.
Elle Woods goes out and sits on a bench. She's very upset. Luke Wilson is there, of course. And he's like, hi, excuse me, are you okay? Because she's just crying and talking to herself.
Yeah, she's.
I just didn't even know, and blah, blah, blah.
She's
and then
like
he's
mumbling
like, are you okay? Which is a normal question to ask. And she
absolutely kind she says, almost. I wouldn't have said shit. I would have been like, "There's something wrong with her."
Especially for Boston,
I would have walked right by that situation.
They would have been like, "What's wrong with you?"
You know my theory of mind your own fucking business. And yeah, unless someone's like being assaulted or something, none of my business.
Yeah,
she looks fine and doesn't look to be in any physical harm.
She'll ask for help if she needs it.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I don't know what happened, but it doesn't look like anybody like beat her up or attacked her.
That's not Luke Wilson's character. Luke Wilson wants to know. He's a man of the people. Are you okay? She asks if they all put you on the spot like that, and he's like, "Yeah, it's very Socratic." And he says that, you know, she mentions the professor's name and he's like, "Yeah, she made me cry once." He's like, "I mean, not in class. I waited until I got home and did it like a normal person." Like, you know, okay, we get it, Luke Wilson. You're very Luke Wilson right now. He asks what other professors that she has. I have Callahan, Royalton, and Leventhal. So Luke Wilson is giving her some advice, which is very helpful. He's like, you know, in Callahan's class, you want to make sure that you speak up. He likes people that, you know, whatever. And so he's giving her
she needs the
some tips. Yeah, she's really enjoying talking to him. And then, here comes Warner. I would have been like, "Hi, you're actually interrupting my cool conversation with this weirdo that I just met who wants to know if I'm okay. And he's actually like helping me try to get along in this world because I really feel like I don't fit in. I don't have time to talk to you, Warner."
Yeah, well, when I'm Warner.
Yeah.
Warner's, but she does. That's the only reason she's there at this moment.
So he comes up and talks to her, and then Vivian Kensington comes walking up. She is Warner's fiance, Ruh-roh.
Oh, boy.
She was his girlfriend in prep school, and he also calls her Pooh Bear. And she's like, "I've heard all about you. You're famous at our club, but you didn't tell me that she would be here." The weird thing is that it's not like she's from Florida. She's from like a great family in LA. Like these people come from money.
Yeah,
like,
she said she's from Brentwood or she's from Bel Air.
She's from Bel Air. And it's like a lot of these people.
She's obviously clearly very wealthy. Those people, though, those East Coast blue blood snobs,
that's true.
It doesn't matter how much, that's how snobby they are. It's not even about how much money you have.
Mm-hmm.
You can be rich, but if you're not the right kind of rich from the right place and the right type of person, then you're trashy and your money's trashy.
Yeah.
So
you've got to be the perfect rich.
That's exactly how that sounds. You just nailed that voice. That picture that. Through an entire fucking movie of 19 different songs that all sound exactly like that. God, I hate it.
I can't believe that we just got a...
Sounds like cats murdering each other.
We should,
the fucking worst.
We should ask her, whoever the singer is, if she wants to collab on our album.
I don't want to collab shit with her.
Why?
Because I hate her voice. I despise
it. Perfect day.
Every song sounds exactly the same.
Elle is so upset. She goes and she sees a nail salon. She's driving around crying in her Porsche. That's the other thing. I'd be like, okay.
Well, to her, though, she's like, well, that was the whole reason I'm here. She wasn't really interested in law school. She just was interested in getting in so she could be close to him. Now she's like, fuck, now I'm at Harvard Law School and the guy is engaged. So what the fuck is the point?
So she goes to a nail salon and she sits down at Jennifer Coolidge's station. She's eating a donut and she's reading a magazine called Upscale Magazine. Never washes her hands.
No.
Spill the tea on what's been going on, Reese. Tell us. So she's saying, I worked so hard to get into law school. Warner's engaged to this offer girl named Vivian. And then Jennifer Coolidge is kind of commiserating with Reese Witherspoon here. She's like, I totally hear you. I was with my guy for 8 years. And then he just decides that he's met somebody else and tells me to move out. So it's kind of a little bit of perspective. Like, listen, I am homeless and I don't get to talk to my dog.
Her life is clearly not as well. She also says she has stretch marks and a big fat ass.
And then she says to Elle Woods, what does Vivian have on you that you don't have? 3 tits. And then a super handsome.
Which isn't a plus, by the way.
A super handsome UPS driver comes in. And
quote, that's in quotes.
And
quote, super handsome.
He looks like the Mulroons. He looks like Dermot Mulroney a little
bit. He looks like kind of like, like a shitty, like if Mulroons had a shitty older brother.
Yeah.
Who's like not quite together.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's my brother. He lived in his van for a while. You know, I don't know.
Kermit Mulrooney.
Yeah. Kermit Mulroney,
So he so he comes and delivers a package. Jennifer Coolidge is losing her shit. She's dropping
Kermit Mulrooney. Sorry. That's good. That's hilarious.
She's as upset, and she's like, are you sure that this Warner guy is the one? And she's like, well, if you can't get the guy that you love, then there's no hope for the rest of us. And she says, you know, steal the bastard back, which, I mean, bad advice, but it ends up being good advice for her in the long run, but not because she gets Warner. It's because she really finds some confidence and independence in herself. And yeah, you know, whatever.
And an interest in law, for which is an odd
Warner
thing to find.
Warner is not everything. Your college or high school sweetheart is not everything in the world.
Thrice used douchebag.
Yeah. Once,
no
twice,
need.
Once, twice, three times a douchebag.
That's right. Move on. Learn the law and find somebody else.
Give him,
or don't, but learn
the
law.
That's really great advice. Learn the law and find somebody
else.
There
you go. Everyone out there, you got a problem, you don't like who you're with, well, fucking learn the law and move on. That's
move
what you do.
Move on with your life.
Obviously, Harvard Law School is the answer.
It's obviously the answer.
For each and every one of you, clearly.
Including us.
Including us.
Okay. So
we could all use it.
We're in Victor Garber's class now. He's Professor Callahan. And hey, guess what? He's a pervert in this movie, too.
He's always a fucking perv.
Except for in Titanic. He's not a pervert.
I guess not.
Well, not on camera. We don't know. Maybe
don't
his
know.
Character
off camera.
Was a pervert. They just cut those scenes.
Off camera, I heard he was nearly fired for putting his thumb up James Cameron's butt. Now, I don't know if that's true.
Oh, my God.
That could have been just a rumor. I'm not positive.
No. All right. So he asks the class, would you prefer to have a client who is malum inse or malum prohibitum? And Elle says, I would rather have a client who's innocent. And everybody laughs at her, which is like, okay, but everybody would rather have a client who's innocent. Like,
I mean, yeah.
That's kind of, that to me felt like when I worked at this hotel restaurant and like the pool bar. There was the bartender inside, and he used to say, on the other hand, you have different fingers. So, like, if I was complaining about something, he'd go, well, on the other hand, you have different fingers. So, to me, where it's like, I'd rather have an innocent one is like an old man joke. Like, that to me just was like, well, it's a good point. Everybody would.
Ha, ha, ha. Yeah. Okay, what's your real answer? You're in school.
So, then he calls on Vivian, and she says that she'd rather have malum prohibitum, because then it means that it's not a dangerous crime. And, you know, whatever. And then Elle Woods says, I choose the dangerous one because I'm not afraid of a challenge.
Bitch.
I'm going to get fucking Milquetoast Warner to marry me.
Bang. Boom.
He doesn't even seem, number one, he's not that hot. And number two,
he's turkey looking.
He's a fucking idiot. And he doesn't seem that exciting
that
to go out with.
Not that smart. No, it seems like the only thing he has going for him is that he's from a prominent family that has like money. Other than that,
the only thing that he has going for them is he can maybe be a senator. You can maybe be a senator's wife. And then it's like, then
based on his family and money, he'll probably will be a senator, I'm sure. Because, I mean, clearly, if you've paid attention to any politics for any length of time, you realize that intelligence isn't really a prerequisite for most offices of higher offices, even. So,
unfortunately,
he can definitely make it.
Yeah.
We'll put it that way.
Exactly.
But is that what she really wants out of your life?
I don't know.
What you want out of your life, Elle? You want
to
stand next to him and smile when he has to have a press conference because he banged his intern or his secretary?
Yeah.
Or
he's
whoever
caught
the hell.
Sending dick pics?
Yeah, he's a dick pic guy. Big time dick. I could see him.
He sends unsolicited dick pics.
Absolutely. Or like he'll like take off and to be with some chick in South America.
Or while Elle Woods is having a baby, he's out banging somebody.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So like the South Carolina governor who like disappeared to go walk the mountains with his mistress or something. That's what he would do.
Elle Woods is wearing a bikini top, pants, and a coat, and we are suntanning, watching everybody playing football. She wants to join a study group with everybody. So it's Vivian, her friend, who's a total bitch, two other people, and then Warner.
Her friend, who's a total bitch.
This girl's awful. She's like, ugh. Like,
she
you
is
know,
pretty mean. Yeah,
she's really mean.
She's nasty.
Yeah. And so here's the thing. She wants to join the study group. She brought baked goods.
That's what I didn't get.
She brought muffins. I'm letting her sit down.
You show up with muffins. I'll at least listen to what you have to say.
Yeah.
That's what I mean. I'll give you till I'm done with this muffin to make your case.
You have temporary membership of our study group.
If I still don't like you post muffin, then we got a problem. But during the muffin, you have all the leeway that you'd like to have.
Yeah.
The floor is yours.
But
I'm eating a muffin.
Post muffin, a decision will be made.
Absolutely. And you're going to abide.
Whatever the post muffin tells us.
Whatever the panel decides, post muffin shall be law.
It's like, remember when I remember when I was in high school, anytime I wrote a paper, I would put postmodern in there at some point, because I'd always get a decent grade, and then I'd always get an honorable mention for mentioning the words postmodern.
Just because that was like a...
Yeah, I wanted to get an honorable mention. I like praise. I'd get a good grade, and then they'd be like, brilliant use of postmodern. I was like, I agree. Thank you.
Well, you should have used post-muffin. You would have gotten even better
I think
grades.
I would have gotten worse
You'd have went to Harvard Law.
I'm going to say post-muffin more often, though. How are
post-muffin?
You feeling?
Post-muffin.
The panel will decide post-muffin.
We'll decide post-muffin.
Okay. So, but yeah, they refuse her, and then the lady at the beginning of the
woman button.
Yeah. I don't remember her name, but woman button says she's like, maybe you could like find like a sorority that you could like join. And Elle Woods, I was very proud of her. She's like, listen, if you yeah. came to a Rush party, I would have been nice to you, and I agree with that. I think she would have been yeah. super nice.
And then she also makes another point. A feminist lady makes a point after that.
She says that you...
Yeah.
She says, is that before or after you voted against me?
And called me a...
Not a nice word about lesbians.
Called me a nasty little slur. And she was like, I would never use that word.
She said, I don't use that word.
Yeah.
And then you must have heard that from Vivian. And then Vivian, like...
yeah. Because she must have been throwing it around.
Yeah, throwing it around. Which is like, yeah, Vivian's character... I don't want to say this about Selma Blair, but Vivian's character definitely is not nice.
Well, you know what? Neither Selma Blair.
How do you know that?
I don't. I'm just kidding.
Doesn't she have
terrible
MS?
Person? I have no idea. I don't know.
She has MS.
Anything about her? She's probably MS, very nice to everybody,
and she's so nice. But she has MS.
Good for her and bad for her.
Poor thing.
I feel terrible now. But you know what? She's bad in this movie. This movie, she is like multiple personalities.
Yeah, she's not a nice gal.
Then sometimes she is, and then she's not in the next scene. It's,
yeah.
She's whatever it's convenient to that scene to be is what she is.
Yeah.
That's her role.
So one of the friends back in L.A., they call on the landline. Yeah. They call on the landline, and one of them is getting married.
They're all excited. That's the other thing. They're all like 21 years old, and they
Josh proposed.
They all are like, where am I going to get my ring? I need my ring. They're 21. Like in 2001, 21-year-old women were not looking to get proposed to right away. I don't know what year. That's what I mean. It's like a 60s spoof.
And so she's sitting there, you know, on the phone, and then you hear very loud Vivian and her horrible friend saying, don't forget, 8 o'clock at 45 Dunstan Street. It's going to be a really nice party.
Great party.
Your own Merlot.
Lots of socializing, getting to know each other.
We're having a fucking party, and I'm saying it very loud so everyone can hear me in the hallway, right?
Not Elle Woods,
so,
though.
Everybody's invited except for Elle Woods.
Obviously.
It's me, Vivian.
You know, Vivian.
Okay, so Elle Woods comes out, and she's like, oh, did I hear a party? And then she sees that it's Vivian, and they're like, yeah, but it's a costume party. I didn't think that you'd want to go. Obviously, she loves costume parties, obviously, because she's a fucking sorority gal. So she's like, I love parties. I love costume parties.
Yeah, that sounds great.
And they know that, obviously. So she's like, yeah, no probs. Come to my party. It's a costume party. 8 o'clock, 45 Dunstan Street. And, you know, we'll see you there. And she's excited. But I think that she should have trusted her dog on this one, because Bruiser like growled and was like, I don't
know. Bruiser wanted no part of this shit.
Bruiser was like, if you're fucking going to that party, bitch, I'm not going.
Yeah,
I don't like her. Yeah, I'm not dressing up. I'm not going to embarrass myself. The dog's like, I have a little bit of dignity here.
I'm not buying this whole situation. And I shit in front of everyone in the yard, and I still have more dignity than this.
Yeah. So she shows up in a Playboy Bunny costume. Nobody is dressed up, obviously, but everybody is staring at her like, whatever. I was kind of impressed with her that she just kind of owned it and was like, whatever. Like, I'm the California girl. I'm here. I'm wearing a Playboy Bunny outfit. Not worried about it.
Yeah, that wasn't bad.
No.
Probably would have been better to go home and change and then come back and act real casual in front of the girl who invited you. Like, yes, of course I didn't know.
But
of course, I knew not to wear a costume, you dumb shit.
She walked up and
she's all...
Oh, she was like, she's like, Vivian, this is a very nice party. And Vivian and her friend are drinking their
something.
Brought your own Merlot.
Yeah.
And they're laughing and they spit Merlot all over the nice whatever. Somebody has to clean that up, Vivian.
B-Y-O-M.
So then she's like, yeah, this is a really nice party. Thanks a lot. And she's like, yeah, nice costume. And Reese Witherspoon says, yes, same to you, except for when I dress up like a frigid bitch, I try not to look so constipated. And I was like, oh, shit.
Damn.
We're hurling insults now.
Oh, boy.
But that's the thing, is that, like, you could be mean to somebody.
Yeah, especially these fucking dry fart fucking
They are dry upper and they crust. Are farts.
They're very dry, these people.
Yeah.
They're pranks, they're
jokes.
Fart, you could be very much more mean to them than they could be to you.
Yeah.
I'd have a field day with these people.
Oh, God, I would bully them.
I could make them cry.
Yeah.
Yeah, they've never been broken down properly.
No. I will break them.
Yeah. Everyone's kissed their ass.
Let's go on a road trip.
Yeah.
And hopefully there's traffic because I'm going to be a nightmare.
That's what I should have done with my life.
Oh, okay.
You know what? If podcasting didn't come about, I really should have figured out a way
to be mean to people.
Yeah. Like, do you have someone in your life that really needs a talking to? You know,
they're
a little too high on the horse, a little too, you know, thinking a little too much.
Need to be
themselves.
Knocked down a peg.
Need to be knocked down a peg. You send them to me, and I'll tell you exactly what's fucking wrong with them. And I'm good at that. I really am. It's my talent in life, and that's what I should have done. So if you have anyone that needs to be yelled at, you send them my way.
We'll figure out a way to set up that you pay James.
I don't even know if I want money for this at this point. I think I just might want to do it for my own soul.
Is this your passion project?
It's you know what? You'd want me to do it. Someone else will charge you, for me, it's all about passion.
And I'm really good. If you think that your friends are lying to you, I will just break them down and ask them a lot of questions and irritate them.
This is good. She could do that. Yeah, she could do that. And I'll just tell them.
I'll just argue semantics about it all day. I'll get the answer, though.
Definitely.
I will find out the answer.
Are we even to the murder trial yet?
No. Okay,
yes,
so
there's a murder trial in this fucking movie. Good God.
Warner is talking to the girl from the beginning, and I thought it was so funny because she's talking about how the word semester is so, you know, misogynistic, and she wants that the winter to be the winter ovester, and it's so anti-ovary and pro semen and all that stuff. And
in 2001, that was a joke, but if somebody tweeted that now, I'd go, I'm sure they mean that. I would think they actually absolutely meant that if someone tweeted that right now.
And if it is that way, I want to read about it. But they
I don't
made
give
it
a shit.
I know.
It's not important.
I want to read why.
I'd rather have
I
equal,
like information.
I'd rather everybody have equal pay and shit than not. Who cares the fuck we name half
equal
of
pay.
Goddamn school year. That's not the point. Yeah. Worry about shit that matters. That's my point.
Okay. So Warner sees Elle and he's like, oh, hi. Oh, hi, honey. Look at you. You're wearing a bunny costume to Harvard. And it's like, okay, 6 months ago.
Yeah, he looks at her like she's...
6 months ago, you were into this.
Yes.
So you can't look at me like...
Now it's your... who would look at you?
Ugh, look at you. Fuck you, Warner. Look at you.
They're in the same class, for Christ's sake.
You wore sunglasses at night on our date, sir.
Douchebag squared.
Times three.
Cubed. Times three. Douche cubed.
Douche cube.
Somehow...
Oh my God, Warner is a douche cube.
I don't know if you could cube a douche, but... He's a douche cubed.
Yeah.
You could cube him.
He's exponentially a bigger douche as the movie goes
on. Pretty much in every scene, he gets douchier.
So he's like, listen, you're not seriously going to... Because she's like, well, then I'll do this and then I'll apply for the internship. Because she's trying to show him, like, I really enjoy this and I'm taking it seriously. And, you know, I want to apply for the internship. And he's like, you're not going to get the grades for this. You can't be serious. Like, and I was really proud of Elle for saying this. She goes, I'm sorry. Pretty sure we both took the exact same tests.
Hey, we're both here.
And we both got into Harvard Law School. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, and she didn't, like, ask her dad to make a phone
call.
He's
like, you're not smart enough. That's what he actually
said.
Yeah,
he's like, honey, you're not smart enough for this. And it's like, okay, yeah, and you're brilliant, sir. Excuse me?
You wear, like, pink dresses. Obviously, you're not smart enough.
Look at you.
Clearly, that means that you're lacking in intelligence.
So she's upset because he said that she's not smart enough, and she goes and she buys a laptop, dresses a bunny, and Luke Wilson is there, obviously, and she's like, don't. Talk to me about it, which exactly. And then I love this because she's walking around. So she's trying to prove, like, I'm smart enough to be here. I belong here. Like, you know, whatever. She's tired of everybody treating her like crap. So she buys a laptop and then she's walking into the building and the, like, Vivian Fox and group, one of the guys goes, is she carrying books?
Yeah.
What? Yes, we're at college. She's carrying books.
A lot of funny off camera, a lot of funny like voiceover fucking ADR shit in the background coming from the side, like little, you're not in LA anymore, sweetheart. Like things like that.
Hey, Malibu Barbie.
Yeah, coming from like places.
Is she carrying books?
She carrying books?
She answers a question correctly from the lady professor. And now we are working out in our dorm room watching the news instead of. The dog was, Bruiser was watching a Taco Bell commercial and he was barking at the dog. And so she's like, I watch the news now.
Yeah, now it's, I'm all news now.
I'm all news. I'm all business.
Now
I'm doing this.
I'm smart now. My interests are completely different.
I'm a new L.
But she's showing when she puts her mind to something, that's what she's going to do. Whether
that
it's
she,
fashion
if she consumes
or whether it's
it. Yeah.
Legalities.
It's polka dots. It's toilet paper. It's
the brains behind it. It's not the thing. That's what she's showing
right
now.
There's more that meets the eye. So she
is a transformer. Indeed.
L takes, yeah.
More than meets the eye.
Bum L B.
There you go.
See? Okay. Jennifer L takes Jennifer Coolidge to the trailer in her top down Porsche in winter to go get her dog back.
Park is on and shit.
Never fucking puts the top on the Porsche. Nope. Never does it. L Woods so Jennifer Coolidge is kind of too meek to like fight for her dog, so the guy is just being really mean to her.
Yeah, he's like a typical.
Oh yeah, what did you show up so that I could see that I'm not missing anything?
To
like,
show
I'll
me
never...
what I'm not missing.
Yeah, stop,
hey, look at
stop
you!
Stop begging me to come back. Like I'm not going to take you back. You pig.
And he's a real disgusting person.
He's
too.
A pig.
He's disgusting physically, mentally, everything. He lives in a fucking not even a. He lives in a quarter wide trailer.
It's a metal trailer.
It's literally something you could tow with your car, not a big pickup truck,
in like a junkyard.
Yeah. You could tow it with
the Porsche
Prius.
Could pick it up.
Yeah, if you put a trailer hitch on a Prius, you could tow this fucking thing.
Yeah.
It's not very much. It's not enough to live in. Maybe to camp in for a night.
Yeah.
But outside of that, this is his house that he's like,
it's
hey,
in a,
sweetheart.
It's in like a junkyard.
The man lives in a metal cube in a junkyard. And he's like, listen, I don't want to share all of this with you.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I'm too good for all that.
I'm too good for you now.
Clearly.
But anyway, so she's, kind of really, she's really bumbling through like that she wants,
Who's going to share all this garbage? I can't do it.
Yeah. Yeah, like you deserve to sleep 3 feet from where I shit. Are
come
you
on.
Kidding me? Are
joking?
You kidding me? No.
Nah, come on.
I have higher standards for myself.
No way. Look at
Do you think that thing has a curtain?
No, I don't think that thing has a bathroom.
Okay.
I think it has a bucket
James
outside.
James was a honey bucket. James was, we were watching for a period of our lives. So James and I get really obsessed with TV shows. And for a while we were watching a lot of Tiny House Hunters.
Just so we could yell at people. Because we're like, what are you? You can't live there.
House Hunters is
good.
Why
are you trying to live there?
House Hunters is good because the first house is, it's always like, 45 minutes away from the guy's joke. And then the second house is perfect.
And the third house is like $100,000 over their budget. And they always pick the two expensive ones because people are fucking idiots. And that's
so
what they always
do. So they always pick the 100.
Because it's always the nicest house because it's too expensive for them.
Yeah.
So yeah, obviously it's the nicest house.
So it's the same with tiny houses.
Yes.
They're like, I don't want to have a mortgage. And then they're like, but I got the $75,000 tiny house anyway. You're like, no.
You live in a shed for $75,000, you fucking idiot.
What you need is an apartment.
Yeah. Sir. You know what would be great for that? An apartment. That would be perfect. They have those,
But anyway, one of them had the bathroom and it had like a little curtain. And James goes,
it was a foot and a half from the couch. Like someone would be sitting watching TV on the couch. And you could hold hands with them while they took a shit. And you could because there's no physical barrier. It's just a curtain.
And he was like, imagine being mad at somebody and running into the bathroom.
Just
and angling.
Closing this curtain, having a sway in the wind.
And fuck you.
Fuck you. And then 30 seconds later, you're shitting. That's your payback. Smell that? Why are you yelling? I'm right here. Yes, I smell it. It's right there.
Yeah.
Obviously.
Smell that.
Yeah, clearly.
It was really disturbing, but he was just like a curtain.
A curtain.
You have to shit with the door open.
Yeah, it's bad enough you're shitting within 40 square feet of someone, but
you'd have to shit with the door open, which is the opposite of privacy.
The complete opposite of privacy.
Like the door to the house open.
Yeah,
anyway.
Yeah.
Okay, so Elle Woods comes out as the attorney, and she bumbles through a bunch of legal jargon that she's been learning to say that we get the dog. What a great friend Elle is. She went to go and help her new nail salon gal get her dog back. She poses her lawyer, and then she's like, you can absolutely put your dog in the Porsche.
No problem.
A lot of people probably wouldn't let me have Benny and Frankie in their car.
No.
If I was like, hi, will you pick us up? And they're like, oh, you have your dogs with you?
Putting that in there?
Oh, no.
All right, I guess. I'll go to the car wash later, I suppose.
Yeah, I guess I'll get my car detailed today. Anyway, so I thought that was nice. But anyway, Warner is going over an example in class, and apparently now he's thinking like a lawyer. But then Elle does like a weird counter argument. It's about sperm donor. So she's like, well, let's just say, you know, why is it this sperm? Apparently he's done that, you know, dozens of times and blah, 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 blah. And then Professor Callahan says that, you know, you just won your case. So even Luke Wilson is perking up to hear what she has to say, because the way that her mind works
Luke's
is so interesting,
perky.
Man. Luke Perky Wilson. That's what they call him. They call him the perky one. He's the perky Wilson.
I'm the perky Wilson.
I'm the perky one. So she gives Professor Callahan her resume. It's pink and it's scented. I did find this one funny because men don't think about this stuff, as I've learned by paying attention to James. Men don't think about this stuff, but if they like it and they haven't thought about it, they'll just say something like, Luke Wilson says to Victor Garber, he's like, it's pink. And then Victor Garber says, smell it. And he goes, it smells good. Like, it's just funny. Like, I never thought to scent my paper, and it's a nice touch. Like, you know, it's whatever, but it's just like, smells pretty good.
Yeah, like, guy's like, man, not bad.
It was funny because James started laughing so hard at, because he's like, yeah, guys just don't think about that stuff.
Yeah, we don't think about it. This paper, we're like, we're going to make what's on this paper great, and we don't think to make it smell good also. It's an extra touch.
Yeah.
It's an extra touch. It's not bad. You'd have the whole well-rounded thing.
We find out who got on the internship. It's Vivian and Warner. So Vivian says, like, Warner, we got it. And they're hugging and kissing all each other. But then she's surprised when we find out that Elle also got the internship. And it's like, there's only four names
written down. Boom.
There's four of them. And one of them's Elle.
Did you stop at your name? Did you not see the other
one
next
quarter,
name?
One quarter is Elle.
Is Elle. Nope, didn't see it. And Warner is so fucking mediocre through this whole thing, but yet he's chosen as one of the four. Why?
Yeah, the only people that are answering questions are Vivian and Elle.
That's it.
Everybody else is not answering questions.
No, they're just sitting there like, whoa, what's happening?
And yeah, and Warner is just, all he does is he just looks at Selma Blair and then looks at Reese Witherspoon like...
Yeah.
And he's not even aware of like the competition that's happening. He's just like a go with the flow kind of gal.
He's an idiot.
All right. So they see each other in the lobby of the internship, day one of the internship. They get off opposing elevators and they meet in the middle. So it's Vivian and Warner on one side and Elle on the other one. Elle is so nice. She's like, you look very nice today, Vivian.
Yeah. She's trying to be friendly with her.
She's trying to be friendly. Like, I'm not sure what your fucking problem is with me, but...
I'm going to be the adult.
I'm a bigger person here. The case that they are talking about is a murder case, and it is they are defending the this aerobics instructor type gal, Brooke Taylor, aka Allie Larder.
Makes videos, workout videos.
Yeah,
and
she does like jazzercise like type of videos. Allie Larder, Brooke Taylor is her name. She apparently killed her husband. Her stepdaughter and the pool boy saw her with blood all over her, standing over the husband. This is the iconic line where Reese Witherspoon says, exercise gives you endorphins. Endorphins make you happy, and happy people don't just kill their husbands.
I refuse to label anything in this movie iconic. It's so terrible. It's not worth it.
Again, you're not a millennial woman.
I haven't been hit in the fucking head with a hammer.
But
that's
we finally get introduced to who Luke Wilson is at this point. So he walks in and he sits down and they're like, I don't even remember what his character's name is, but this is, Emmett.
Luke Wilson.
This is Luke Wilson, and he seems to be a TA for him, but he is an editor for the Law Review at Harvard.
Very smart.
And so
top three in his class.
We finally got, like, who he is, because otherwise we're like, who is this quirky guy that we don't see as handsome because we're too busy being blinded by Warner? That's the problem. For every Warner that you're looking at, there's a fucking Emmett. that's sitting on the bench that's willing to
ask. Luke Wilson.
Yeah, there's a Luke Wilson. So
ready to check into the game.
If you're looking at a Warner and you're like, this guy sucks.
Yeah.
And then you're like, I got to go find me a Luke Wilson.
Trade your Warner in for a Luke Wilson. There you go.
Upgrade. All right. So anyway, which I have to go over the ethical on whatever. They interview the defendant. She's happy that Elle Woods, the Allie Larder, is happy that Elle Woods is on the squad because she's also a Delta Nu. And she recognized her. She's like, oh, you took my class in L.A. You had the best high kick that I've ever seen.
Holy cow.
Again, Elle Woods is amazing at everything that she does, and she's an overachiever, and she's amazing. We're back at the nail salon. The handsome UPS man is here, and he has a package. It is a very awkward...
He's got a big package.
It's a very awkward interaction between the two of them. Jennifer Coolidge is obviously very nervous around him. And Elle Woods is criticizing her. She's like, why didn't you, well, in like a positive way, she's like, kind of like, hey, you know,
yeah.
And so she says, why didn't you offer him a cold beverage or a neck massage? I took umbrage with this as well, because Jennifer Coolidge is clearly in the middle of a manicure. So she would not be like, can I get you something to drink? She would just sign it. Okay, thanks. I'm in the middle of something.
Yeah, maybe just say hello and make like a
and also,
small talk for 2 seconds.
He's at work.
Yeah.
What is she going to do? Ask him like, hi, can I interest you in a cold beverage? And do you have time for a neck massage? Like what? Yeah. I don't know him. So why
if
would
she's
I offer
got
him a
little
neck
fridge
massage?
Right there. She could say, hey, you want a water? There's got waters in the little fridge here, and he can grab one if he needs it. She's got her hands in.
But you would only offer. Yeah. Okay. So now it's the bend and snap scene where Reese Witherspoon's teaching everybody in the nail salon, the bend and snap. And then we are back to working on the case. We need an alibi. So Reese Witherspoon goes and visits Allie Larder in prison. She brings her a huge basket. Here's some of the essentials. Here's some moisturizer. Here's Cosmopolitan, you know, whatever.
Yeah, all sorts of bullshit. A loofah.
Brooke is, Allie Larder is saying she'll never tell anybody her alibi. She's never going to tell anybody anything because it's shameful. Is it more shameful than being accused of murder is my question. Brooke,
she says,
that's my question.
Yeah, if my alibi gets out, my career will be ruined, which I would imagine being in prison for the rest of your life would also ruin your career.
Yeah, because in The Undoing, Hubert Grant...
Hard to work from jail.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So...
More difficult.
Yeah, what are you going to do, jazzercise in your cell? Like, what's happening?
Yeah.
So it turns out that she was getting liposuction. Elle Woods says that she will never... she will never tell anybody her alibi. Like,
yeah,
you know,
never,
she's
never,
like,
never.
I got your back. You know, I won't say that. I'm conflicted with this, but I also, it
says
is
no
her.
Human woman has a butt like this.
I also understand because it is her alibi to tell, but it's also like you went there specifically to get it and then you got it. And then you're like, oh, I can't tell anybody anything.
Yeah, she probably,
and it's like, you should have been sitting there encouraging her to, like, well, okay, I won't tell him, but you have to tell him eventually.
I get that it's embarrassing, but better than murder.
Maybe he can figure it out where it's not like, you know, we can say it's a procedure or, you know,
just
blah,
say
blah, blah,
she
whatever.
Was at the doctor.
Yeah.
Right? What the fuck?
Yeah, because you could say I was at the doctor and I was getting a procedure done and I, you know, I'm not
fair
comfortable
enough.
Saying what I got done. And then that way, you know, then fucking.
As long as a doctor confirms
Professor
that
Callahan,
you were there, it's fine.
Yeah, yeah. Professor Callahan can figure out. Also, can he be a college professor and the best defense attorney in the state?
Yeah, that happens all the time. Alan Dershowitz has been a Harvard professor. He's supposed to be Alan Dershowitz.
That's
what they're making him. Because during the OJ trial, that's what he was doing. He was like working with it with the students. And this was like, you know, 4 years after that when they made this. So. That's what they're going for.
So she goes back to the group. Vivian is always the gopher. He's always asking Vivian to get coffee or go get a Danish or something like that. And so she's like, yeah, I got her alibi. It's really good, but I can't tell you about it because I promised that I wouldn't tell you. So he's going to go and take a phone call with the ex, with the deceased ex-wife.
Yeah.
Murdered man. Everyone is in the room that's trying to convince her to give up the alibi. She's not going to do it. They're all like, come on, like, do you want to lose this case? Like, what's happening here? Like, why wouldn't you just... Because that's what I was wondering. I'm like, why would you tell them you got it and then say, I won't give it to you?
Yeah, yeah. Well, I guess to say that one exists, but not... Still, it's not helpful.
So they find out that the ex-wife is at the spa and Luke Wilson and Elle Woods are going to go to the spa to talk to her. They inexplicably take Luke Wilson's car, which doesn't make any sense.
He's got an old piece of shit car.
And
she drives a Porsche.
He's an attorney.
Yeah.
He's a licensed attorney. He, I'm sure, has a little bit of money.
Looks like an old cop car.
He's driving the car that Bill Tench and...
Exactly. And
what's that guy's name?
John Douglas.
No, but his name was something else in the show.
I don't remember. The Mindhunter show.
Ford.
Well, yeah. Yeah.
I don't know.
Doesn't fucking
matter. That guy.
Yeah.
He's driving like a set 1970s like G-Man
LTD.
Car.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, they're interviewing the ex-wife at the spa, and she's talking about how Brooke Taylor and her ex-husband humped like gorillas, and she was saying like, oh, have you checked out the cabana boy? Like, you know, kind of insinuating that he's hot. So obviously she killed this old man because she wanted to go out with the cabana boy.
Yeah. The husband was 34 years older than her, they specify.
Yeah. Elle Woods is being dropped off from that, from interviewing the lady at the spa. And she walks up and she sees the nerd guy from the beginning who's, you know, a master's in Russian literature, trying to ask some gal out. And she's like, are you kidding me? No, girls like me don't go out with guys like you. I'm like, ew. Yeah, girls like you assholes don't go out with nice people. Fuck off. Get away from him.
Yeah, God, that happens.
So then Elle Woods runs up and she slaps him and asks why he never called. And then after she slaps him and she's like, you gave me the most beautiful night of my life and blah, blah, blah. Then the girl's like, oh, so when did you want to go out?
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay.
Elle basically said he's a real good fuck. She was like, the most pleasure I've ever experienced. And she went in this whole long thing.
Vivian comes out. Vivian comes into Elle's dorm room and asks for the deposition. And she says that it was classy of her to not say anything about the alibi. And then she just starts dishing about how Warner got waitlisted and was making fun of him because he doesn't do his own laundry.
He's
and
an
she's
idiot.
Playing
He's
with
lazy.
Elle Woods' dog and all that stuff. Here's what I didn't get is that why didn't they have to work together on something? Like, we have to work together on this. And then they're begrudgingly doing it. And then Elle's like, why don't I make a lovely charcuterie board?
That's what I mean. A couple
glasses
of wine. And
then glasses of wine. And then, like, hang out. And then they start dishing on about,
she comes in within 30 seconds.
Warner never doing his... And she's like, oh, I thought it was super... Like, thanks for the deposition. Thought it was really classy that you wouldn't say Allie Larder's alibi.
30 seconds later, they're talking shit.
What a fucking loser Warner is, right? I can't believe I'm getting married to him.
So strange. I don't know what...
So trial time, we've got Velma from Scooby-Doo is the daughter. Brooke, Allie Larder, is wearing a suit that looks like it's made out of newspapers, an odd fashion choice for court today.
Very.
She likes... She doesn't look like
really
she's
weird.
Sad that her husband is dead. She looks like, I'm wearing a fucking newspaper. You know what? Maybe she's doing a Taylor Swift move right there. She's like, I'm fucking front page news, so I'm wearing the newspaper.
I suppose. She's doing like a Charlie Manson thing then. That's
Did
what
Taylor
doing.
Swift write this movie in 2001 when she was my age? Because I think she's my age now, Taylor.
I have no idea.
Taylor.
Maybe. It's possible.
Is this an Easter egg that you've planted?
Wow.
Okay, anyway, so apparently they're examining the pool guy, Enrique, and they're asking about this thong that he wears. And, and so Allie Larder says that she just likes to watch him clean the filter in the thong. And she's like, you know me, Delta News, don't sleep with men who wear thongs.
Yeah.
Ooh,
oh,
maybe
so
she's doing
know.
Like a Delta News, but instead of the NU, it's NEWS. She's like Delta News.
Yeah, I have no idea. This trial was my brain shut off. By
We're
now.
Back at the nail salon now, and the You Sexy Thing song is playing. Handsome UPS driver shows up, and he's got a big one for her. Yeah, you do, buddy. So she goes to sign for it, has the idea to throw the pen and do the bend and snap. She does it, and he's so nice, he bends down to get it too, and she breaks his nose. So she calls Elle Woods and tells her about it. We're on the phone with Jennifer Coolidge at the court. Enrique cuts Reese Witherspoon off at the water fountain, and she's tapping her foot at him, which seems pretty uncharacteristic of her. Like,
very weird.
You wouldn't just do that with a witness, but that's okay.
A small child.
And so he's like, don't tap your little last season Prada shoes at me. And she's like, oh, holy shit. Yeah. He's gay. They've never slept together.
Yeah.
So she
obviously
tells,
he knows women's shoe designers.
Yeah. So she tells, well, that was kind of into the 2000s. They always said shit like that. Whereas now people know more stuff because.
Yeah. That's how you, but you could tell then of that type of thing. And that was very, this is what I mean. This is the My Cousin Vinny moment where it was like, oh, it's something they know. And
yeah. So she, Elle Woods is like, well, listen.
The Pontiac Tempest moment.
She says, Warner, what kind of shoes am I wearing? He says, black ones. And so she goes, see, straight men don't know what types of shoes these are. He just told me this. So like, we should do this. The weird thing is that Professor Callahan is not like, great, let's go there. Because you'd think that he'd be like, oh, perfect. Because we need to get that thing off that, you know, because he said that he's had sex with my client. And so, fuck, I have to get that
this
one.
This will discredit him. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So... he doesn't even go down that lane. Dumb. And then Luke Wilson decides, so he's like, Your Honor, I'm going to ask a couple of questions. He pulls an F. Lee Bailey and he's asking her a bunch of questions. Like, okay, where have you taken? Him. Yeah. He's asking Enrique a bunch of questions. Where have you taken her on a date? Like, okay, so you love her, blah, blah, blah. What's your boyfriend's name? And he says, Chuck. So they're like, oh my God. So he, cause he just like, he does like rapid fire asking questions. Cause you want to get them to mess up.
Yeah. Yeah. So he answered it in a row of other questions that were easily answerable.
So that was a good success in court that day. And Vivian is carrying a bunch of shit. She sees Elle and she says,
the boyfriend got mad at the back of the room because he's like, no, Chuck's just a friend. I thought I misunderstood. And then Chuck's like, oh my God. And then he gets up, I'm sorry. And then everyone, it's a big, case is cracked.
Vivian says to Elle Woods, Callahan wants to see you before you leave. And she's like, you know, I already got him coffee, but maybe he needs a donut. So they're, you know, ha, 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 men. And then, she goes in there and he says, hi, how are you? I'm sorry I didn't listen to you earlier. You've got really great instincts. It was really awesome how you took the initiative to seek out the alibi, even though you're not telling me it for some reason. And then he's talking about her future. I would be a little triggered by the word future if I'm Elle Woods because I got dumped and then I got felt up. So Callahan puts his hand on her thigh. Vivian sees her putting his hand on her thigh, but then she like walks away because she thinks that like...
She thinks they're about to get it on.
Yeah. She's like, ew, oh my God, are you hitting on me? And he's like, yeah, you're a beautiful girl. So she stood up for herself. Good for you, Elle Woods. She got out of there. She's crying in the elevator and Vivian catches her and she's like, you almost had me fooled. Maybe you should sleep with the whole jury so we could win the case. Like, geez.
Yeah, like really. And meanwhile,
thanks for sticking up
Reese
for your fellow lady.
Reese Witherspoon's like crying and shit. Like,
she looks like she's having a fucking panic attack. But
she didn't look
awesome.
Like she was just like coming from having a good time in there. Yeah. Like it was very... fucked up.
She didn't look very aroused.
No.
She looked pretty happy. She looked pretty unhappy. So it's like you should check on your fellow gal. Luke Wilson runs into her in the lobby and she's like, I'm quitting. She's saying Callahan only gave me the internship because he likes the way that I look. She's like, he tried to feel me up. And Luke Wilson goes, he what? Which is a pretty normal reaction. But then they continue to have a whole conversation and I would be like, okay, great, you're quitting. I'm sorry to hear that. Tell me more about him feeling you up. Are you okay? What's happening?
Back up to that part.
Yeah. Okay, sorry. I know that you're quitting, but can we talk about that? Like, are you all right? Do you need to call the police? Like, are you okay? Like, did he hurt you?
How far
like,
did it go?
Yeah. So she packs up the Porsche and she's going to go say bye to Jennifer Coolidge. She's very disappointed that Callahan only looked at her as a piece of meat. And it was just weird because she wasn't like, bitch, I'll teach you to fucking do that. And like, I'm going to out you and I'm going to expose you. She's just like, I'm out of here.
Yeah. She was just real broken up about it.
And then they,
pre-Me Too also. So I mean,
the lady professor is in the salon as well. And she's like, you know, if you're not going to fucking stand up for yourself, then you're not the gal that I thought that you were.
Imagine what Harvey Weinstein was doing at that moment in time.
God,
good Lord,
fucking
of that
monster.
Time period. So.
Luke Wilson and Vivian go to go visit the Allie Larders at the prison. So Vivian's like, yeah, you should ask Elle because she looked pretty cozy with Callahan last night. And Luke Wilson, way to go. Love this. He's like, you don't know what you're talking about. Callahan fucking felt her up last night. Like, he just immediately. And I was like, yes, Luke Wilson. Great. And she's like, oh boy, I really put my foot in it. Feeling like a real big jerk right now. It's like, well, yeah, you are always a jerk, Vivian. You're always a jerk.
Never redeem yourself. No one in this movie has any redemptive qualities whatsoever.
Allie Larder.
I don't like anybody.
Allie Larder walks in the courtroom and she fires Callahan. And we are hiring Elle Woods to represent us. We find out that they are allowed to, she's allowed to represent her because as long as she has a licensed attorney, Luke Wilson volunteers.
Second chair, yeah. There he goes. He's going to.
Okay.
Luke Wilson's got her back. Callahan's pissed.
Yeah, the friends are here. So her friends from college are here. How they had time to come for the trial, like on such short notice, is amazing.
Yeah.
And then also Jennifer Coolidge is there, as well as the handsome UPS guy.
People show up at a high profile trial. There's just open seats.
Yeah. We hear Velma's testimony, 13 minutes left in the movie, James. So they're telling her, you know, they're asking her
about 30 seconds,
tell me the events of the day. And they're asking a lot of questions about the shower. So she's like, well, I did this. I got home. I took a shower.
Dead guy's daughter. This is right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so she also mentions that she got a perm. And Elle Woods says, okay, so you got a perm and then you took a shower. And everybody's laughing at her because they're like, okay,
yeah,
we get
stupid.
It. She was in the shower. So Elle Woods is taking her to school about taking a shower after a perm because you're not supposed to do that.
The curls are not properly set. They would fall.
And then she's like, you know, given how many fucking perms you've ever gotten in your life, you should know that, you dumb bitch. And then Velma confesses to murdering her father because she thought that it was Allie Larder.
They do a real big, like, Perry Mason moment here where she's like, I didn't even mean to shoot him. I thought it was her.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then she covers her own mouth.
Everybody is up and they're like, oh my God. And then, you know, Luke Wilson's amazed by Elle Woods and how amazing is she. And Allie Larder is just free to go immediately.
Yeah, immediately. Yep. Chart case dismissed. Take the witness into custody. It was like no procedures. DA didn't have to drop the charges.
No, just Allie Larder. She probably like went home and fucking filmed a jazzercise video.
She'd still have to be processed and they'd have to formally drop charges. It would take a week.
So Elle Woods is all excited and, you know, she's like, oh, my God. And Warner comes out and everybody's like, oh, my God, Elle Woods, Elle Woods, Elle Woods. You know, how'd you know? And she's like, oh, everybody knows that, like, about the perms. And then Warner comes out and he's like, oh, my God, you're amazing. I love you. You're everything I want in a wife. Oh, my God. Like, you were right. You're the Jackie all along. And it's like, yeah, I know I was the Jackie, bitch.
Yeah, she's not that. She's not really either.
No. She's just trying to say, like, I know that I was, I know that I'm marriage material. Like,
she's
I got my self-esteem back. And then she's like, okay, yeah, great. I've been always wanting to hear you say that. But if I'm going to be a partner at a law firm by the time I'm 30, I'm going to need a boyfriend who isn't such a bonehead. Boom.
There you go.
Fucking somebody should have told Warner that much earlier.
Yeah, his parents.
He's a little, he likes himself a little too much.
I would say so. A little too comfortable with himself.
A little too comfortable. We got graduation time now. She's graduating. She's graduating top of her class. She and Vivian seem like they are best friends now. And Warner is all alone sitting there by himself looking very sad.
Looking
obviously he fucking graduated, so.
Yeah, but she's like the speech maker up here now. I don't know if she's the head of the...
He's all alone like a true senator. And this the speech that she's making sounds a lot like the DARE essay that I wrote when I won. Luke Wilson seems like that's her new boyfriend.
He's dressed like Colonel Sanders
and
for
he's
some
wearing
reason.
A white suit to the graduation, which is a little weird, but that's okay. It's an odd fashion sense.
Running around the graduation looking like Tom Wolfe.
And they were dating for the past 2 years, but isn't that still unethical since he was like a TA?
I mean, he's a TA, but he also worked
was
for the
he a
law
TA?
Firm.
I don't know.
No, he was just, yeah, I think he, I don't think he had anything to do with, but I think he was just doing, he was basically like the, he worked at his law firm and he was doing files for him. So he kept saying like, oh, here's that file for you. So I think he was doing all his like, law firm work and keeping that while he was teaching classes. I think that's how it went.
So, Dad.
Or he's an unethical asshole.
Unethical asshole. Oh my God, that's the last track of our album that we're doing.
Perfect.
Okay. Reese Witherspoon's dad has a martini at graduation. Jennifer Coolidge seems to be married to the handsome UPS guy and they are having a baby. And Luke Wilson is going to propose to Elle Woods tonight.
Yeah, that's the last thing. He's going to propose to her tonight. Like, let's just wrap this up as with the happiest of endings, because you can type anything on a screen. We don't even have to film it, just to be super easy.
All right. So, anyway, we are graduating Harvard, and we're on our way to go and proposed to at by Luke Wilson. So we're on our way to go get proposed to. And while we're on our way to get proposed to... Is that the Heigl-meter?
Oh, in the distance. It's the Heigl-meter.
The Heigl-meter is our unit of measurement, the way that we rate our movies on a scale of one Heigl to five Heigls. Five Heigls being the most punishing, worst movie you've ever seen in your entire life. One Heigl is not that bad.
Yeah.
James?
I go first?
I'm going to let you go first.
Okay.
You seem like you're really ready to go.
I am going to give this movie 179 Heigls, which is the exact score that she received on her LSATs.
Oh.
So that's the amount of Heigls this movie is.
Right.
It's fucking terrible. There's nothing redeeming about it. It's not funny. It's not cute. It's not entertaining.
But she got broken up with and then she went to law school.
Don't care. It's not smart. It's not interesting. It's not... It's literally nothing except a grating fingernails on a fucking chalkboard experience of an hour and a half. It is like having a toddler. You know those little hammers that squeak that toddlers have? And they go bing, bing. If someone took for an hour and 36 minutes, if a toddler hit you on top of the fucking head with one of those hammers, it would be the exact same experience. Fuck this movie. And what would your Heigl-meter be? What do you got?
Okay.
For the old Heigl-meter.
I'm just going to give it a three.
A three. Just a three, huh?
I like this movie. I don't like, I'm not like, this isn't my favorite movie, obviously, because I don't watch it all the time.
No, I've never seen you watch it.
But
it's not in your rotation.
It was on all the time on TBS, so I have fond memories of it.
Okay.
So I'm just going to give it a three.
A three. All right,
I'm give
that's
it a
fair
three
enough.
Because I'm not horribly offended by it. Don't love it, but so I don't hate it.
Combine our Heigls, that's 182.
That's a lot of Heigls.
That's a lot of Heigls.
But thank you guys so much for being here with us and listening. Follow us on social media. We're Facebook, Twitter, Instagram.com/YouGotHeigled, YouGotHeigld, where we do Patreon bonus episodes there every other week or at least twice a month.
Yeah.
And we do 90 Day Fiancé, Plotsy, Make Your Own Rom-Com. Remember, we are talking about TLC show I Love, A Mama's Boy.
Some of the creepy... You think there's weird small town murder episodes. Uh-huh. This is creepier than any of
and
those.
And then we're going to play... after that, we'll play Make Your Own Rom-Com, the Holiday Expansion.
Yes,
pack.
Holiday Expansion
so that will be
pack.
Fun.
Yay.
Because James and I have watched... there's this Hayley Duff movie that's a holiday movie, and it is
it's
really
so bad.
Okay, so that's that. Our PayPal is yougotheigled@gmail.com. If you like this show, please rate and review on Apple Podcasts.
Definitely.
Five stars.
It
if
helps.
You don't, if
I know
you
it
like
doesn't...
it, if you don't like it, don't worry about it.
It doesn't seem like it would help. It'd be like, what difference does that make? For some reason, it helps and it drives you up the chart. So do that, please.
If you want to buy a shirt, we have merch. It's heigleyourself.threadless.com. If you want to talk to me on Twitter or Instagram, it's at Sarah H is funny. S-A-R-A-H-H is funny. I have two books on Amazon. They're called Small Potatoes, Mouthwatering Musings of a Misanthrope, or Small Potatoes, Leftover Beef from a Lovable Curmudgeon. It's just funny essays.
They're funny.
I am working on a cookbook right now. I have a lot of shit that I have to do, but I am working on it slowly and surely.
Hell yeah.
And I'll teach you how to be a better party host or guest. It just depends. James?
You can find me at Jimmy P is Funny, or just listen to my two other shows, Crime and Sports or Small Town Murder, every Tuesday and Thursday, respectively. That's just about it for me, though.
Oh, great. So anyway, we have some new folks that have joined us.
Who are they?
Since last week.
Tell me.
Here's our new ass nailers.
Oh, sweet. Nice. The
There's more people in our downline. Kel McDonald.
Ass nailers downwind. Here it is.
Okay. Kel McDonald. Sarah Adeline. Tara Dactyl. Yes.
Nice.
John William Kern. Oh, my. John William Kern here.
It's very important.
Abby Meister, Abby Meester, Zachary McIntosh, Justin Michael Bard, Jeff Jewett. So yes, thank you guys
thank you so much
for hanging out with us and watching our terrible movies with us. Remember,
sorry about that.
We are off next week.
Yes,
and
off
then,
next week.
We will be back with Love Actually. So prepare for
Merry Christmas
that.
To me. That's
and
great.
While you prepare for that, go Heigl yourselves.
Go Heigl yourselves, everybody.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.